Today on Real Radio.
They walked in obedience and they lived in the joy of the Lord. God had blessed them so much. Why? They walked in obedience. Do you want to be blessed? Walk in obedience. God will bless obedience. How does He do it? With joy.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. It's the book named for the man who led God's people in the retaking of the Promised Land. Now, we're nearing the end of this saga in Scripture as the tribes and families of Israel settled into their nation. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a mini-series that focuses on the last three chapters of Joshua. It's called, How Then Should We Be Living?
Obedience to the Christian is to be a loving act. When the Lord says thus and so, it's yes, Lord, I'd love to. But if in your heart you think of obedience to God is all right, okay, I'll do it just to keep the blessings coming. Oh, you're a mess if that's you. You are an absolute mess. And the real situation might be that you don't know Christ at all. You go to church, you do the Christian thing, but you don't know Jesus. Because your walk with Him is no walk at all. It's a burden. Jesus says that His yoke and that His load is easy and light. It's a joy. But we'll get to that in a moment. We're talking about obedience. Yes, Lord. As Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. Have you come to that point where it's, yes, Lord, send me? Well, you're just going to work, honey. Yes, I know, but Lord, send me. Well, it's just the day off, and I've got you mowing the lawns today. Yes, Lord, send me far from here. No. God wants you to live this way. Well, you know what? I'm a postal worker. You know how hard it is to go to work? Listen, God has ordained you as a postal worker. Lord, send me. I'm a school teacher. God has sent you. Don't look at your life. If you're a Christian, whatever you do, you're doing it and you should do it to the glory of God. That's an obedience. And that's such a wonderful, liberating thing. When we walk in obedience, listen, we are liberated to opportunities. We are liberated to freedom. We are liberated to become the people that God has created us to be. If we don't walk in obedience, we will forever be frustrated. And unfortunately, there are few Christians, at least that I've met, who walk in obedience to God and you see their freedom in their life. They obey Him, and because that's true, their life is liberated. They're not a Christian who's having to dabble with alcohol. They've been freed from it. They're not a Christian that struggles with drugs. They've been freed from it. They're not a Christian anymore struggling with anger or their temper. They've been freed from it. Why? Obedience. Do you struggle with anything in your Christian walk? Obey God. Is your marriage messed up? Obey God. Is your witness a mockery? Start to obey God. Will your children listen to you or not listen to you? Start to obey God and earn their respect. When you love Him, His call upon your life will be the joy of your heart. Yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you say. And you won't be afraid. He won't be sending you to some job or location or some situation that's going to destroy you or that's going to wipe you out or that's going to be a bummer. It's going to be a wonderful thing. I honestly can tell you that when I have sincerely yielded to God for the obedience of His word to be done in my life is blessed. And every time I've taken the reins back from Him, my life gets messed up. And I cease to obey. But these people had kept the word of the Lord. They obeyed the voice of Joshua. They didn't leave their brethren for 7 years. They were faithful people. They kept the charge of the commandment of God. And so Joshua says in verse 4, return and go. That's what obedience does in our lives. Return and go. Go to your home. Go to your place. Look at verse 5. But take heed to do the commandment of the Lord, which Moses, the servant of God, commanded you. And here it is, to love the Lord your God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Love Him. Just love him. He says to walk in all of his ways, to keep his commands and to hold fast to him. Hang on to him. Squeeze him. To serve him. You should mark those things. Are you doing those things? Do you know those things? Are you taking heed to his commandments? Do you love him? Do you keep his commands? Are you holding fast to him? Are you serving him? So Joshua says in verse 6, so he blessed them and sent them away to their tents. Have you ever worked on a project with somebody or a group of people? Very important project. Or maybe you've been to war, as these men had been to war, some 40,000 of them. There's something about hardship. When you're struggling, when you're fighting, or when you're building something, there's a sense of deep ownership. When you do something together, there's a sense of ownership. These men had been bonded together. They had been at war for 7 years. They had been with their comrades for 47 years. And it was time to say goodbye. Yes, I'm going home to my tent, but I'm saying goodbye to my fellow warrior. That's a mixed emotion. You know, men experience this. You can be in war, and the war is over. We're going home. All right. And then you turn to your brother that you've been fighting with in war, and now your heart's torn. Isn't that a weird thing? Your heart's torn. The project has come to an end. You've got to say goodbye to people that you've warred with, people that you have enjoined in battle with, and now it's a farewell. And these 2.5 tribes, they've got to have that in their heart. They're saying goodbye to their brethren, which is sad, but they're going home, which makes them glad. They're mixed. And so Joshua's blessing them and he's encouraging them. What a wonderful leader Joshua is. There's an old Italian proverb that says that the blood of the soldiers makes a general great. I think that's a terrible proverb. I think it's the blood of the general that makes the soldiers great. Christianity didn't make Jesus great. Jesus is great. He's the only one who's great. And Jesus calls us up to where he's at. He lifts us up. He doesn't stoop down to where the level of the world is. Jesus goes to a mountaintop and says, come on up. Jesus makes the church so attractive that the world says, I'm sick of this stinking, sinning life of mine. I have no direction and hope and purpose. Where do I look? My friend, look up. Look up to the cross. Look up to Christ. And Jesus has come up here into a life that's much more wonderful than this world could ever offer. Live above. And so he encourages them. And from this moment on in this chapter, there's no more words from Joshua, which I find this interesting because the children of Israel are going to make a big blunder now. They're going to goof up. So we walk in obedience. Secondly, we walk with him in these last days in the joy of the Lord. That's how we are to live. Verses 7 through 9. Now to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given the possession of Bashan. That's the northern areas by the Golan today. But to the other half, Joshua gave a possession among their brethren on the side of the Jordan westward. And indeed, when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them, verse 8, and spoke to them, saying, return. And look, it says, with much riches to your tents, with very much livestock, silver, gold, bronze, iron, with very much clothing. Man, they had a mall. Go with all these blessings. They walked in obedience and they lived in the joy of the Lord. God had blessed them so much. Why? They walked in obedience. Do you want to be blessed? Walk in obedience. God will bless obedience. How does he do it? With joy. Okay, these are the little frills off to the side, the physical possessions. They had joy. Even though they're saying goodbye to their brethren, they're not walking back home with some funeral dirge in their mind. They got the joy of the Lord. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you have joy? Do you have the joy of the Lord? You know, joy is awesome because joy is a constant. Happiness is exactly what happiness is supposed to be. It comes from happenstance. Happenstance. That's how we have happiness. If our happenstance is up, we're happy. If our happenstance is down, we're sad. Our happiness is based upon what's happening. Hey, man, what's happening? I'm bummed. When somebody says, hey, what's happening? I'm up. It's connected to your day-to-day, moment-by-moment activity. But the joy of the Lord is your strength when you begin to see that every ticking of the clock and every beating of your heart is dedicated to God, you can have joy. And I'm talking about a real joy. I'm not talking about a hyped up, stupid imitation. Thank you, Lord. My engine of my car just blew up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. But I am talking about, Lord, obviously the engine of my car blew up. You knew it was going to blow up. I don't have the money to fix it, which tells me you must have a great hand in all this. Because I feel as though this is a faith thing coming on. So God, help me to walk in your joy. And I choose now to do that. And you walk in his joy. And your friends say, bummer, your car blew up. Yeah, I know it is a drag, but the Lord's got a plan. He's got a plan. And I'm resting in his plan. That's the joy of the Lord. You see, it's strength. It doesn't pull you down. Because you see Jesus' fingerprints all over. The joy of the Lord is our strength. In John chapter 17, verse 13, Jesus says, but now I come to you, Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they, that is the disciples, may have my joy fulfilled in them. God wants us to have joy. Isn't that awesome? What is it that we think that Christianity's got to be a bummer? It's got to be a drag. Well, Jack, get with it, man. Haven't you seen the news? Haven't you seen the latest? Oh, yeah, I have. In fact, the news that I see often picks me up. What do you mean? Hey, you have to confess, the news channels can be depressing unless you're a Christian. I look at the news as a Christian and I realize, you know what? My Bible said there'd be days just like this. Jesus said there'd be days just like this. My Bible tells me that God knows the future in advance before it happens, so I can rest in that. My Bible tells me that his coming is very near. Does that excite you? Or does that scare you? If it scares you, you're not walking in obedience with him and you have no joy. And that's a good thing. I don't know how you see God. You see him as very stern. You see him stern? Long beard and robe. And he's got this scowl on his face. Straighten up, Jack! And you kind of see him like he's kind of scared to set you up every day, prop you up. Come on, come on, come on! Pull the load, will you? Get up and pray! Actually, he would get up and pray, you know, be like that. I can see you. No, he doesn't talk like that. Only people on TV talk like that. That's not him. Get this in your mind. I hope you can handle this. Jesus says, I want my joy in them. Father, put my joy in them. I don't think Jesus was a bummer to hang around. In Zephaniah, you probably read Zephaniah this morning in your devotion. In the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17, it says, the Lord your God is in the midst of you. All right, I like that kind of talk. Yeah, it says he'll save you. Amen. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will? Oh, yeah. It says that he will joy over you with singing. The word in Hebrew means twirl around. Hey, are you awake? Are you guys here? Are you listening? God, when we get to heaven, is going to twirl around you. Does that bug you? Well, I don't know if we should act like that. Well, then stay here. But the Bible says he's going to twirl around us, Zephaniah 3:17. To twirl around. And it says he's going to sing. Now, I have never really gave it much meditation about how God's voice must be in singing. But you and I need to start thinking that way. When we get there, he is going to sing. And as the Hebrew says in Zephaniah 3:17, while he's twirling, can you imagine? He's going to spin around. Well, I find that highly irreligious. Well, I don't know what your definition of religious would be then. Maybe God's not religious then. Well, it's highly irreverent. Well, I don't know what your definition of reverent is. I just know that in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. It's got to be a fun place with Peter up there. The joy of the Lord. The third thing that we see this morning in regarding how should we be living in these last days is that we're to be acting out God's love, that we're to be loving, choosing love. It says in verse 10 through 12, it says, "And when they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an altar by the Jordan." And it says, "a great and impressive altar." Now watch what happens here. I want to pause right there at verse 10. They have left their brethren. They come by the area of Jericho, heading down to the Jordan. They had to go past Ai. Remember what happened there? They had to go past Jericho. Remember what happened there? And there's no doubt in my mind that memories began to well up in the hearts of these soldiers, and they came near to the crossing of the Jordan, and you know what they did? They built an altar. I have lost track on how many altars this now is in the book of Joshua. They built an altar. A memorial. They're reminiscing. But also they're crossing back over the Jordan onto the eastern side, having fulfilled their promises to God and to their brothers. And they build this altar. It's an impressive one. It's a large gathering of stones. Now, we need to choose people, every one of us, to walk in love starting now, not tomorrow. And hear me out. Don't say, "Well, I'll pray about it." You're going to pray about loving people? Don't be a hypocrite. Obey Him and start loving people now, because He loves them. He loves the people you can't stand. And He's the one that gives you the power to love those people. Only He can do it. So they build this altar. Everything's fine. Everything's calm. Everything's beautiful. We love this story until we get to verse 11. And unfortunately, verse 11 is happening more often than not in our own lives and in every church, sad to say, that there is. Verse 11 says, "Now the children of Israel heard someone say," oh brother, can you mark that? The children of Israel heard someone say. I heard someone say that, you know what? They say that, who are they anyway? I'm not sure who they are. Well, you know, they say that. Well, who are they? I don't know. The children of Israel, the nation, heard someone say. That's all they did, is they said it. Now, two people are sinning. At least two people are sinning. Someone said something, and someone heard it. When somebody goes to gossip, someone is saying it, but it takes a bigger fool to hear it. You want to hear about Bob? What? You're both fools. So watch what happens. Everything's fine. These guys are probably building these stones, and they're crying, "Oh, Lord, you are so awesome. And our brother's over there, and we're going to be over there. And we just want to make sure that we're always together in unity. And God keep us, and we love you, Lord." And somebody is back there in Shiloh saying, "Hey, you want to hear something? Boy, isn't that something? Have you ever been to a mountaintop experience? You ever been to a retreat?" And it's like, "Oh, God, you're awesome. I'm going to totally dedicate my life to you. I'm going to start living so different, Jesus. Oh," and then you come home. "Boy, you better call Fred because he's been talking about you and you and them." And you're just devastated. Doesn't it hurt when that goes on? I'm always amazed about how people speak for me. It happens every week. Somebody will call and say, "Well, you know, I heard that Pastor Jack said that, you know, whatever. We're going to paint the carpet pink." I didn't say that. Somebody said I said it. And you've had that happen to you. Isn't that a painful thing? If we walk in love, we're not going to do it. If somebody comes up to gossip to us, we're going to say, "Excuse me, can I quote you on this little morsel that you're about to give me?" Probably one of the most damning and dangerous things that a person can do is when they pretend an absolute hypocrisy in a prayer meeting to say, let's pray for Mike. Lord, you know that what's happened with Mike. Well, I can't really get into it now, Lord, but you know where he's at with you. You know that is a hideous, gross sin, and God's going to deal with you on that. You pray about things like that privately. The problem is, maybe you're not praying privately, so you spend that energy publicly in corporate prayer where it ought not to be. These people, look what happens. It's tragic how Satan wants to divide people, especially the church. Now the children of Israel heard someone say, quote, behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an altar on the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region of Jordan on the side occupied by the children of Israel. Now, there's no mean cutting words here. It's just that they make a statement that causes people to think evil. And men's hearts will do this. They will go to evil. So watch. It says, and when the children of Israel heard it, verse 12, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh, look what it says in your Bible, to go to war against them. Can you believe this? Let's kill them. Some churches have, let's kill them! 47 years they've been together, and some loony says, oh, did you hear about what the 2.5 tribes are doing over there? They're building a church right next door to our church. Let's kill them. How wicked. That is so wrong. Look at the fourth point. How should we be living? Graciously. We're to be living in obedience, living in joy, loving, and now we're to be living graciously. Verse 13 says, then the children of Israel sent Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest of the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead. And with him 10 rulers, one ruler each from the chief house of every tribe of Israel. And each one was the head of the house of his father among the divisions. In other words, Phinehas is bringing all the cops. All right, let's go down there. Let's get to... They're out there, man. They got all the robes are flowing in the wind. They got their banners. You know, it's got, you know, maybe a symbol of a jail on it or something. I don't know. They're out there. We're going to go get them. Just because somebody blabbed their mouth and gossip. So they're marching. They spoke with them, saying, verse 16, thus says the whole congregation. Here it comes. They don't ask them, what are you doing? They didn't even ask. Excuse me, can you explain these pile of stones? They said, all right, listen up. Thus says the whole congregation of the Lord. God's on our side. You better watch your mouth.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called, How Then Should We Be Living? It's actually a series within a series taken from the final three chapters of Joshua. How then should we be living? It's the title of this mini-series by Pastor Jack as part of his fascinating look at this historical Old Testament book recorded in God's Word. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, you know, if you've been enjoying and growing through Real Radio, we would love to hear about it. Why don't you drop Pastor Jack a quick line at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click the button that says Radio Reaction. But here's something else you can do. Tell a friend, tell your loved one, your family member, or your coworker about Real Radio and tell them when it's on the air. Now, even if that person's out of town, you can find Real Radio broadcasts in their area simply by visiting us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Or give us a call at 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.